News Radio 690 KTSM presents the second hour of the El Paso History Show with documentary filmmaker Jackson Polk and historian Melissa Sargent, streaming live at ktsmradio.com. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, home of the one and only margarita. And by Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. By Monterey Asset Management. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. And now, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here. Melissa, however, will be shortly along on a recording because this is the El Paso History Show second hour, where we start with an El Paso History Moment. And it is produced by Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance. And her History Moment today explains the New Mexico Salt War of the 1850s.
The First Salt War. Long before the advent of refrigeration, natives and Mexicans used a common mineral available on large swaths of land throughout the Southwest to preserve meat and dairy products. One large deposit of the mineral was located on the east side of the Oregon Mountains and had always been there free for the taking. But once this land became a part of the United States, some early pioneers seized upon the opportunity to exploit the value of this mineral by restricting access without remuneration. One such person was James McGoffin, the father of future mayor and civic leader of El Paso, Joseph McGoffin. James enlisted the help of El Paso Sheriff William Ford, the military, and a posse to confiscate the Salineros wagons and oxen from those who refused to pay for this precious mineral. Ultimately, the courts ordered McGoffin to return the wagons and oxen as well as make restitution for the damages. This unfortunate event became known as the McGoffin Salt War of 1854. More history next week on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso History Alliance.
And there's Melissa appearing today, and she'll be back next week. Well, indeed, this is actually something done by the History Alliance. They've got a following of 50,000 on Facebook, and go check out their page. Also call Bernie when he's in town, 581-7920. Bernie Sargent, if you want to get involved in some history stuff. And we want to also thank another partner of ours on Facebook, and that's Barbara Given Bainey. I refer to her as BGB, and she hasn't told me not to say that, so any BGB. But she's a great Facebook page person. She does a lot of hard work, a lot of volunteers out there. It's called Remember in El Paso When. And odd name when I first heard it, like, what are you talking about? But when you go look at it, incredible archive pictures from all over the place. And 33,000 members right there. And a bunch of other folks over there, Craig Hayes, Barbara Given Bainey, as I mentioned, Ken Weiss, and Paul Louis, L-E-W-E-Y. Bunch of interesting, good volunteers there. We got Carl Lombaugh here. Carl, you heard that salt war thing. Where is that salt?
It's you go east over, the El Pasoans came up the east side of the Oregon Mountains, and the people from Doña Ana later in time, once it was established, would come over Oregon Pass.
Right.
And then you go up the east side of the San Andres Mountains, between the San Andres Mountains and Lake Lucero. And you go all the way till you're about even with Salinas Peak, which is the highest peak and it's probably 30 miles.
Oh my!
Up there, and Salinas Peak is sacred to the Apache, and it's named Salinas because of the salt.
How much is there?
They're in little puddles that the water come the salt seeps up, and so they had to gather it off the top as it came up, and it was still had a lot of dirt and mud in it. And they'd probably use water from Malpai Springs up there to try to boil it down and clean it up.
Malpai
Springs?
But
then it would take a lot of cleaning when they got back.
Malpai Springs, that didn't sound like a good thing.
Well, yeah, that Malpai Springs actually becomes a factor, supposedly, in the Battle of Embrio. Because it had... It's actually a wonderful thing, and it's a beautiful, lovely spring. You wouldn't be amazed of how much water is gushing out of the end of the Malpai. Because what happens is the Malpai, or Malpai, for those who, I'm a native, and we just say Malpai, but Malpai, goes all the way up to the Valley of Fire State Park, west of Ferrozoso. And so basically what's happening is all the rainfall, all the drainage that goes into that extensive many square miles of lava drains down to the bottom, and it comes down into the Tularosa Basin, the Tularosa Bolson, and it pours out, it gushes out. I mean, in the wintertime, there's ducks there.
Okay.
There's pupfish there. There's vegetation, and it flows out into the desert for at least several hundred yards, if not farther.
Well, if somebody wants to go wander around in volcanic rock that is, 10, 12,000 years old, that's what that is, right?
Actually, it's about 5,600 years old. It's a very late lava flow. People were there in Three Rivers watching that burning lava flow down into the Tularosa Basin.
Oh, my. But so that's, if you want to go play in lava, cold and dead now, that's where you go. Go up 54, Tularosa, Carrizosa, take a left.
Exactly.
And you're on your way to San Antonio, New Mexico, correct?
Exactly. You can get a burger when you get there from a couple of good places, and then but on your way, stop at Valley of Fires. They've got a nice little visitor center, and you can learn about it. But yeah, it was somewhat of a surprise, I think, when they dated that, and it came out to between 5,600-5,800 years ago, I think.
Round out the neighborhood. That's where the Trinity Site entrance is up in there, right? The first atom bomb.
Well, that's the Trinity Site is farther west. And between the Malpai, and the Trinity site is the Oscura mountain range.
Okay. But they picked a really obscure place to blow that thing up, didn't they?
Well, they had to work at it, and they did the best they could. And, of course, there's people today that wish it was even more obscure. But your choice of words is interesting because Oscura means obscure.
Okay, I didn't catch that, but there you are. Well, a lot of history in New Mexico. Go back to this research place. Now, you said NMSU has an extensive research location. I kind of know what's in the archives at UTEP, although I really don't. Mm-hmm. It's so huge, the Sonicson Collection, sixth floor of the library there at UTEP. They cover so many subjects. They have a catalog online. I don't know that I've ever been through it all, but they got all kinds of stuff. Now, is there a catalog online of the... Say that word again, the Foundation Institute of History. And
you know, to my knowledge, there isn't, but that doesn't mean it's not there. But I don't know that it's online.
How about NMSU? They got their stuff online?
NMSU is online, that they've cataloged. Of course, they get these big collections, and then somebody has to go in and catalog, and it takes time and money.
Oh, yeah.
And, that's the way it works. Dr. Clark, who wrote the book on water research in New Mexico, I think he left them 60 boxes. And they're still there to be done, and other material. But Dennis Daly, who runs that archive, is doing an amazing job. He's kicking butt up there. And what those archives can't do that Evan does is this technology transfer.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's the difference.
The technology transfer, I walked through there fascinated. There's a guy in a corner doing still pictures, and he can transfer anything from anywhere to anything with the equipment they have. And if you have, like, old films or your slides or whatever, they can digitize them for you, hand them back to you. And like a legacy box, they will charge you for it. But that's not the kind of major business they're in. That's one thing they can do.
It's one contributing income stream for them. You know, same with transcribing the oral histories and that kind of stuff.
And they will sell you an article.
Every little bit helps. Evan has funded this with from 1,000 little directions, and it works.
But he will take your money and use it wisely. To further the cause up there.
Absolutely, absolutely, because he envisions this going well into the future. It'll be here, that building and all the wonderful archives. You know, he's got all the archives for the diocese, the Episcopal Diocese in the Rio Grande. And, all of Preacher Lewis's stuff and stuff from beyond that. And then in the process of gathering that, he also gets archives that pertain to other religions. I believe it was the Catholic Church. I hope I'm not misspeaking, but they had him microfilm a whole bunch of their archives. And so there was one situation where there was a fire, and yeah, they lost the originals,
oh boy,
but Evan had them copied. And So the going back to Cañada Alamosa, the original community of Monticello used to be called Cañada Alamosa. And so the Catholic Church kept their records at San Marcial, which was wiped out by a flood in 1930 or thereabouts. But the records for Cañada Alamosa from the Catholic Church were held at San Marcial, and Evan was able to rescue some of those. They're fragmentary, but there's data there.
Okay, we got to explain to people what is Cañada Alamosa besides a sign on the highway on I-25 going to Albuquerque. You took me up there. We jumped in your big old car, and we drove up a river, Warm Springs, I guess that would be. And about the time we had access, and we went all the way up. I thought, this guy's driving in the river. Okay, fine. It's his car. I can survive if we dump out because the river's kind of shallow. But that was a strange day. So I went up there and video recorded a bunch of stuff. And what you end up with is a location where the Warm Springs Apaches used to hang out. And they were like these alluvial fans coming from three or four different directions. And they put their encampments up on these fans. And then they had down in the valley, I guess they were trying to grow some crops and stuff. Corn, right?
They were. There was some corn agriculture going on during the Apache days.
Well, finish the description, because up at the top of this thing, you go drive the further up the canyon, and this is a really, really narrow canyon up there. But once you get up to the top, there's this big hole in the ground, and there's hot water coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly. I mean, that's why they call it the Warm Springs Apaches. They lived there. And if I
that's
were the,
right.
I were the Apaches,
right.
I would have never come out of that canyon. But I guess they got rousted out of there by settlers and stuff.
Well, they fought a bloody war to stay there. Yeah. Didn't work, but they fought.
But so that whole area now is owned by a private individual or two, and you can't get in there anymore?
That's right, yeah. It's been closed off. Part of the problem was that beautiful drive that we took that day got picked up by way too many people, and so there would be there would be a line of 100 ATVs in Monticello raring to go up the canyon every weekend. And, of course, it's open range. There's cattle. A lot of people are respectful, but there's always those few that weren't, and that sort of killed that deal.
Well, Monticello is a little town off of I-25, and you can still go wander around that little town, right?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, it's not blocked until you get about 6 miles up or so.
But it's an interesting history of New Mexico. How did Monticello get its location name and history?
Well, there's two families fight about it who gave them the name. The original community was called Cañada Alamosa, and it was established about 1864. And actually, there were two Cañada Alamosas. The first one was at the mouth of the canyon. And it was at the mouth of the canyon during the Civil War, and there was actually a battle of La Mosa where the Confederates captured a bunch of Union troops. Then the flooding on the Rio Grande made that impractical because their fields down there were getting wiped out, and they discovered if they went up the canyon, they could establish right there off this wonderful water coming out of that Warm Spring, which flows 12 miles down the canyon. And so they put ditches in there and established the second Cañada Alamosa there. And then in 1880, about sometime in the early 1880s, I guess the postmaster didn't like the name Cañada Alamosa, so they had to come up with a new name. And so the Sullivans and the Borges, both who had connections with Monticello, New York, and then Jefferson's Monticello, they argue about which one of those families actually assigned the name Monticello.
Don't you love history? History, the history.
Yeah.
It's a central New Mexico location. How far is it from Hillsboro and all the gold? The silver mines over that way?
Well, line, it's probably no more than 50, 60 miles, but you have to come down to the interstate.
Yeah.
Come up the interstate and then go to TRC and then go back up the other way. So it's a circuitous route.
Well, interesting history there. We got to take another break here. Carl Lombaugh is a guy on the phone here. But as we take a break, I want you to think about coming back and explaining what would have happened if Oñate had found those silver fields. Oh, my goodness. You ever thought about that?
People have thought about it. But, yeah, it would have been a different little world, especially if he'd hit the the pocket they found there at Lake Valley.
Yeah, exactly. Let's talk about that for a bit, because central New Mexico is fascinating, and a lot of people just don't know about these little places. So, all right, taking a break here. Let me all want to tell you one thing before we go to break. Plaza Classic Film Festival is returning on tour and online. The 13th Annual Film Festival is going to be, because of the pandemic, they're going to have a hybrid. They're going to go 11 consecutive nights of pop-up drive-in movies at various locations around Metro El Paso, 5 days of digitally streamed films on plazaclassic.com. And so you can go to 6 locations from July 30th through August the 9th. They got the Beatles Yellow Submarine going on there at Artavino's, 2 nights at the Community College and Valley Verde Campus, Jaws, and then Charlie Chaplin's the Kid on July 31st, Smokey and the Bandit. A lot of stuff going on there. So go to plazaclassic.com. And you can get all the details there. Schedule will be posted soon enough. All right, back in just a moment. Call us if you need to, 544-5876.
Visit Mission Del Rey Southwest for a huge selection of El Paso souvenirs and gifts. Mission Del Rey features El Paso saddle blanket products and thousands of Southwest, Western, Native American, and Mexico items for gifts and decor. Bring your friends and mention you heard us on the radio for a store-wide discount. Mission Del Rey Southwest, 1421 Lee Trevino, enter on Pelicano. Go to missiondelrey.com or call 915-440-2140 for Mission Del Rey Southwest.
Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina serves the old Griggs Mexican food recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Enjoy great New Mexican food with cold beer and the Juan and only margarita from the Cantina. The managers and cooks from the original Griggs Restaurant serve tacos, combination plates, and sopapillas. Get the best Mexican food in the valley at Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, 6761 Donovan, near Loop 375. Call 877-2152.
This is Andrew J. Polk with News Radio 690 KTSM. The El Paso, Isleta, and Socorro Independent School Districts will resume virtual instruction August 17th. Visit epstrong.org for details on the local public health orders. El Paso has 173 total deaths from the COVID-19 coronavirus and 3,708 known active cases in the county. 272 patients are currently hospitalized. Border crossing restrictions have been extended for another month. From the News Radio 690 KTSM News Desk, I'm Andrew J. Polk.
iHeartRadio's new podcast, Forgotten, Women of Juarez, investigates a series of murdered women that have haunted the U.S.-Mexico border for almost 30 years. The crimes suggest a wider conspiracy.
The fact that a lawyer is murdered in such a public way or call it an execution indicates that we're talking about something very big behind these murders.
Dive into the mystery and listen to Forgotten Women of Juarez on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When you're stressed, you just don't feel like yourself. New Natrol Relaxia, a full line of drug-free supplements to help you manage occasional stress and anxiety. A special blend of herbals keeps you feeling calm and balanced throughout the day. Because when there's less stress, there's more you. Try new Natrol Relaxia. Learn more at RelaxiaMood.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's happening. In just days, Publishers Clearing House will be ready to award $7,000 a week for life. That's $7,000 a week, week after week, for life. Don't miss your last chance to win. Go to PCH.com and enter before it's too late. That's PCH.com. Better hurry if you want the next big winner to be you. Enter now at PCH.com. Entries due 8/26. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
News Radio 690, KTSM El Paso.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
All right, we've had 7,397 people now looking at us on Facebook. you know, Carl, there's a lot of people out there. But before I get back to Carl, let me, we got a caller coming in here. Let me tell you a couple of things coming in next week, July 25th, ABC 7 General Manager Kevin Lovell and former ABC 7 news anchor Rick Cabrera. They're our guests to talk about the TV history they've seen and been a part of, plus events that happened while they were in El Paso. Both of them are from out of town, I believe. So we'll hear some of their stories. And August the 1st, the rock duo, Dr. Eric Kappas, geologist, and Jim Tolbert, the director of Celebration of Our Mountains. They're going to talk rocks and also go see some. They got events coming up in the fall that should work for hikes and field trips, is all what's going on here. All over the place to see geology in person. August the 8th, we review the Wigwam Museum on San Antonio Street downtown with Bonnie Juarez, and she's been putting that thing together. Second hour, Patricia Kidney is talking about John Wesley Hardin's demise in August of 1895. Every August, we have that demise thing going on there. August 15, first El Paso First Lady, Dear Margot, written a book about the Lydia Patterson Institute. And she's on the program to explain that in August. So, okay. Hey, Carl, real quick about the silver fields. That was a lot of silver over there that they found, wasn't there?
It was. It was one big chunk, all and reasonably pure. And I think it's the largest single deposit that has ever been found.
Is my memory correct? That was 27 pounds of silver, or was that my wrong?
No, a lot more than that.
Oh, was it? Okay. And yeah. I remember there was one guy who had a major claim, and he sold it to somebody else and left, and the other guy the next afternoon took his new claim and broke in and found his stuff, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, yep. My God. Think about the first guy. God.
Yeah, well.
But the point was that if the Spaniards had found it, that's kind of what they were looking for.
Yeah, everybody thinks it talks about Spanish gold, but they weren't gold miners. They were silver miners.
Exactly. And they had that experience in Zacatecas down in Mexico.
Yeah, and you read those early accounts, Espejo, the different people that went up the Rio Grande, and they're looking up in the hills, and actually the earliest recorded mine in New Mexico is in the Fray Cristobal's next to Elephant Butte.
Well, those guys dug holes in the Franklins, I got to tell you. I have found Spanish mine things in the Franklins, whenever they did that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Rick Hendricks, who he used to be our state historian, he's now managing that organization from another angle, but he has a nice article on all the gold, the mining claims, not gold, but mining claims in the Oregons. In the late 1700s, out of El Paso, they're all down there in those in the Spanish archives relating to El Paso.
We got George on the phone. I want to tell you one thing: the last prospector on the Franklin Mountains got kicked off when it became a state park. He lost $40,000 in permits that he'd already paid; they wouldn't pay him back. But I'm glad the guy got kicked off because the idiot was taking a bulldozer and just scraping the side of the mountain open raw. And you can still see some of those in the north end of the Franklin Range. And he was just going to jump off the bulldozers if he found anything. He was making a mess of the place. So, I mean, a prospector, you know, you got to have some manners, you know.
Well, you do.
And he did. And he did.
You do.
All right. We got Carl on the phone here from Las Cruces. And we got George. Are you still in San Elizario?
I live in El Paso, not San Elizario.
Oh, okay. What's new, George? Mr. Sanchez.
How you doing? I've met Carl here in El Paso and in Las Cruces, and I'm really enjoying all the information that he has. But I was raised in Carrizoso, and that little town of Scuta that is along the Malpai, when Carl was talking about it, I don't know if he just misspoke or he said that the word is for obscure. But the word oscura means dark. It's the Spanish word for dark.
Spell the English version.
Oscura is a little town west of Carrizoso.
Your phone is kind of muffled. I didn't quite hear what you said. What is the English version of that word? B-U?
What he's saying is that a literal translation often used for oscura is dark.
Dark.
And that is correct. But it's also the root, the Latin root for our obscure. And so when you think about it, something's obscure because it's darker. It's not clear.
This whole conversation is obscure.
Spanish is a wonderful language in that things move around to different contexts. And another word for dark might be prieto.
Okay, George, I didn't know you grew up in Carrizosa.
Oh yeah, I went to I grew up there. Went to junior high and elementary school and junior high there, and then I wound up graduating from Las Cruces High School.
Oh, cool!
Yeah,
I had no
and
idea.
George, your grandfather is the one who lived at Trujillo, you know?
Yes, Juan.
I'm
a Gurulés. Yes,
you're a Gurulés, so we're primos because I'm descended from Gurulés too.
Look at that!
It's all those people that came across Texas, those three Frenchmen, and that's where the Grulé got into New Mexico from the La Salle expedition.
Can you imagine this? A family reunion right here on the radio.
Right on that, and on top of that, Trujillo, I did an oral history of a guy in Trujillo, just as part of the Sabinoso Wilderness Project that I want to talk to you about. So when I met George in El Paso. And we started talking. He said about Trujillo. I went, could it be the same place? And it was. And he has a wonderful story.
Oh, yeah.
About his grandfather and his activities in that area.
George is full of stuff. I mean, some of it's history.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. The latest thing, Carl, is that on the Gurulés side, I have the Vigiles, and they have proven that the Vigiles came from Charlemagne. And I wrote an article about that. Came out in one of the two of the newsletters that we have, that the Vigiles have been proven to come from Charlemagne, Holy Roman Emperor from 749.
How about that history?
Wow.
Great stuff. Oh, George.
Anyway, Carlo, I'm really enjoying the program today, and I thought I would make a comment on Oscura.
Well, very good. Well, thank you for calling up.
It was a good one.
You take it easy. Thanks for ringing up. Talk to you again.
Okay. Bye now.
Thanks a lot. We got Raul on hold here. We're going to stay. Raul, stay on hold for a minute. We got to go take another break here and come back and do this again. But and we do have Carl Lombaugh here, and we'll get back in just a moment. 544-KTSM. Call us if you need to.
With over 19 years of experience in the El Paso real estate market, Patrick Tuttle has successfully navigated the ups and downs of uncertain markets, including the last recession. And he can assist you in buying or selling in the current market. Call him today, 915-588-1850.
Hi, I'm Patrick Tuttle with Legacy Real Estate Services. I offer flexible fees, no upfront costs, and if you don't like me, fire me. Call me today at 915-588-1850. 588-1850.
El Paso History TV is now available for free on YouTube.com. Take a look at recent ABC 7 news reports by Bernie Sargent on El Paso History TV about Waco tanks, the Franklin Mountains, Concordia Cemetery, and more. The YouTube channel also has more than 100 videos about El Paso history with lectures, documentaries, and various history clips. Go to YouTube.com/El Paso History TV and find out how Texas history begins in El Paso.
Hey folks, this is Andrew J. Polk. I know I'm still definitely spending a lot of time at home these days, and I definitely appreciate the furniture I've gotten from Souder.com. They have a ton of great styles to help spruce up your space, like a renovation without the sledgehammer. Whatever you need, work from home, storage, shelves, and so much more, they have you covered with new items added every week. And even better, get it right to your door with free shipping on all orders. So make sure to check out Souder.com. That's Souder.com.
When your business is built on trust, customers come back. Here's more happy Susan Eisen customers.
I came to Susan Eisen Jewelry because she's the best, and I trust her judgment.
I think it is the best store in El Paso. You just don't get the quality that you get from the store.
Susan Eisen Fine Jewelry and Watches. Voted best bling in El Paso 10 years in a row. 5857 North Mesa. Call 584-0022 or online at SusanEisen.com.
We started Untuckit to create the perfect untucked shirts. Along the way, we had other great ideas, like super comfortable polos that come out of the dryer looking crisp, wrinkle-free, and always at that just right length. Choose from our traditional PK, easy wrinkle-free, and performance styles that wick moisture, so even when it's hot in the shade, you'll feel cool and dry in an Untuckit polo. Try our famous polos now at Untuckit.com or any of our 85-plus stores. Untuckit, shirts designed to be worn untucked.
El Paso's News Radio, 690 KTSM.
Hey,
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Jackson here, Melissa back next week, but I got to tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc. Why a global maker of motorsport vehicles is investing almost $180 million in the borderland for building a new manufacturing facility in our sister city. Also, playing video games at the drive-in? Well, welcome to 2020. A property group will soon start construction on a drive-in sports venue in El Paso. That's what it says here. Anyway, the new commander of the Army's Joint Modernization Command sits down with El Paso, Inc. and talks about the Army's future warfighting capabilities, yoga, and the limits of teleconferencing and more. Celebrating its 25th year, El Paso, Inc. is available for home or business delivery. To order your copy of El Paso, Inc., go online to elpasoinc.com. Sunday night on ABC 7 Extra, Soul Science got rare access inside the Del Sol Medical Center intensive care unit this week. Sunday night at 10:35 on ABC 7, he takes you inside where COVID-19 patients are being treated. The coronavirus floor only on ABC 7 Extra tomorrow night, right after ABC 7 at 10. All right, Carl Lombaugh's here. You're still here, Carl. I see your lights on.
I am indeed. You betcha.
The light's on there. You got to be there. But also we...
And if Melissa can hear, hi, Melissa.
Well, Melissa, she's way far somewhere, but she may hear the recording. You never know. But she'll be back next week. But we do
I just want to be polite.
Well, you should, because Melissa's there. We try to make sure we know Melissa where she is at all times, just because it's a good idea. No big deal. But also, we stirred up Raul. Raul, got you on the radio. Raul, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, a couple of things. I'd like to make a suggestion for a future show.
Sure.
But before I do that, I'd like to, you know, chime in on you guys decrying the amount of historical ignorance that exists in our community, and it's also across the country.
Oh, yeah.
Two out of three Americans can't name the three branches of the federal government,
right.
And one out of five can't name any. You know, that goes a long way to explaining the crisis that we are currently in.
I got a question for you, Rob. What would you think about having a citizen's test to get to voting rights?
I wouldn't have a problem with that at all,
okay.
As a matter of fact.
Can you imagine doing that? Yeah. I mean, it's against the Constitution, I'm sure, somewhere. But if you don't know what you're doing, why should you be able to vote? Anyway, but to your next point, go ahead.
Future show suggestion. El Paso's most historically significant, consequential Mexican-Americans.
Oh, and yes. And not only that, it can't be the most. It can just be the most you can think of. Because there's so many Mexican-American history people and throughout our government, throughout our society, throughout our history, that have made incredible impacts on everything going on here. You know, it's an amazing group of people. And once you realize, since I'm not in that group, I watched that group. When I grew up as a kid, I thought I was one because I ate a lot of Mexican food. They said, you are what you eat, and it didn't happen. But the point is that it's an incredible group of people. And I take it you're one of them.
I don't think so. But you know what? I did have an opportunity to meet one of them, and I think he would obviously be on that list. As a little boy, I got the opportunity to meet Raymond Tejas.
Okay.
So he's got to be part of that list. And frankly, you know, I don't know the rest of them. We don't, again, that's one of the things that we're not taught in our community. So
yeah.
We have to really do some digging to find out who these people are. And you've got certainly the resource.
Well, I would hope so, but I see, I just grew up here. I don't know a whole lot about what the whole list is. You know, I know some people who might be able to put that list together. That's not a bad idea at all. All right, thank you for ringing up on that. You take her easy, okay?
You bet.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for ringing up. All right, Carl, we got lots going on here, the history being what it is. The Americans from Mexico, let's put it that way, obviously they're all over the place, and it's a fabulous group of people. I saw somebody online talking about how they got their hands slapped in school when they were speaking Spanish. And let me tell you my experience real quick. I grew up as a kid here in El Paso. I hit first grade at 6 years old, didn't do kindergarten. And I'm watching these kids in the classroom speaking perfect English like we're supposed to, as good as you can when you're 6 years old. And then out on the playground, they'd be having these conversations in Spanish. I'm thinking, my God, they're geniuses. they know how to do that, and I could never do it. So, I mean, that's my take on what's it like to be a Mexican-American in El Paso. I always thought those kids were smarter than anybody. You speak Spanish?
To me?
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. My father was fluent from the ground up. My grandmother was an Andrada.
Okay.
And her father was captured by Apaches in Sonora and drugged into and finally traded as a slave or a captive into Taos to a family of Romeros.
My goodness.
And so my father and all my uncles and aunts grew up speaking both languages. My grandfather also grew up speaking Spanish, and so my mother was German. We didn't speak it around the house a lot, but I heard a lot of Spanish. And then since I've been in southern New Mexico, I have had the opportunity, thanks to the patience of a lot of people, to improve my Spanish.
Oh, yeah. Well,
and so, you know, by the time I'm 90, I may be really fluent.
You might get there. What about writing down your family history? Have you done that?
We have. We have.
Good.
There's a volume. It's edited by Jan Gerand. And it's called The Lombas in New Mexico.
Okay.
And you can order it from her, or you can find it on Amazon.
Oh, hey, that's neat. Let's go back to the Institute for a minute, because that's still something we need to talk about. I don't think we've covered everything in the place, but we're talking. Give me the name again. I don't have it in front of me.
The Institute of Historical Survey Foundation.
That's it. That's the one.
And yeah. And what I really want to mention, you had asked me about materials collections from El Paso.
Yeah, what about
they have quite a bit. One of their finds was in Arizona, and it was it's a collection of slides from the 1950s and 1960s, and just slides. Evan loves slides. They love to take in slides. They don't take up a lot of room. They can be scanned, and they've got them from all over the world. But they've got an extensive collection of 1950s, 1960s El Paso. And, of course, as you know, things change, and it doesn't look like that anymore.
Right.
And a lot of iconic restaurants and so on aren't there anymore and so on. But the other thing he just told me is they're digitizing a big collection. A photographer went to Waco Tanks and did everything. And so they are now in the process of digitizing that collection.
What year did the photography occur?
I do not know.
Because the earlier, the better. I mean, a lot of the stuff out there is fading fast, the artwork.
Right. Which is another, you know, again, we're fighting a rear guard action here.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's fading away. The other thing they have from El Paso is they've got Sun Bowl movies from the 40s, 50s, and 60s.
Oh, yes.
And they have a lot of the El Paso Shriner materials, documents and so on. And then the documents that relate to the history and development of the El Paso airport. A fellow named John Paul Jones, I think, donated those.
Oh, good. We had him on the show 20 years, yeah. 15 years ago. We had him on, yeah. Good.
Yeah, and then he said you were familiar, and I'm probably Bissonnette.
Bruce.
Dealing with
Bruce, yeah.
Again, airlines.
Bruce Bissonnette. He was a reporter here on radio and on TV, and he was one of the people that trucked over to the mountain when the B-36 hit the mountain. And great history there. Major in aviation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they've got all his stuff.
Okay, good. Well, that's what
it's a nice combination.
Well, here's another thing to mention to people. If they have a collection that they've inherited because someone passed on, all of a sudden you got six boxes of what is this stuff? Call up these guys in New Mexico. But it's not just that they'll take them and put them on the shelf. They'll digitize them so they can be shared. And that's
exactly
that's a difference. I mean, God bless the Sonicston collection, but they don't do a lot of digitizing. If you want to get the white gloves on, they'll bring a box out for you to thumb through. But if you want to take a picture, then they have to go digitize it. Whereas I think what Evan's doing, he's digitizing stuff coming in the door, isn't he?
Yes, he's applying that technology. That range of technologies to everything that comes in.
Do that.
So his idea is to preserve it into the future. It needs to be in a stable situation.
Okay.
And so many things from the past are defading, deteriorating. Those old albums with the sticky stuff that went over the photographs just ruined the photograph eventually.
Oh, yeah. Well, do the phone number again, 575.
525-3035. And there's three ways, three basic ways that if you just want to help, if you need a service like fixing that old broken 78 or transcribing your grandma's memories on tape, they can do all that for you. They can use all that technology and make it happen for you. But they also take items that are intentionally donated. Otherwise they'd go to a flea market or a garage sale.
Oh yeah, please.
So if you don't want to mess with that, take it to them, and they will have an auction sale at the end of the year. They have a number of old semi beds that store materials, and then they have a big auction, and that's where some of their cash flow comes from. So anything that you can donate, it doesn't have to come in cash. Evan can figure out how to turn it into cash.
But they'll digitize it and then give it away or sell it.
No. This is stuff that nobody cares about.
Oh, like an old couch?
Your old salt shaker and your kid's bike.
Okay.
And things that aren't archival. Certainly, if something comes by them and they see that it has historic significance,
they'll copy it, then
it's going to get taken care of.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Material.
So they make money with, there's no government funding with this organization. They do federal contracts and state contracts, and because they can do this wonderful transfer of technology that nobody else can do. So they do get some funding that way. Otherwise, it's either their own fundraising. If somebody out there is hearing about this and would like to write a check, they will accept that check. They'll scan it.
We'll take a break, but phone number one more time before we go to break.
You betcha. 575-525-3035. They're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 4, except for the noon hour. And if you show up for the coffee break, which I think is 10 o'clock, you will be invited to munch down and join the conversation. It's a lively and interesting group.
Oh, I bet it is. Let's take a break, come back, and wrap up. But I don't think we've touched on all their areas of service. We'll get to that in a minute, right?
All right, we can.
Mm-hmm. All right, our number, 544-KTSM. Ring us up if you need to. Back in just a moment.
Monterey Asset Management is proud to sponsor the El Paso History Show. If you're tired of the ups and downs of the stock market, maybe you should invest in real estate. Monterey Asset manages apartments in El Paso and helps investors buy, hold, and sell properties. To learn more about the many benefits and long-term appreciation of investing in real estate, call certified property manager Ray Baca at 915-592-4549. Call Monterey Asset Management to discuss your personal financial needs at 592-4549.
If every day feels like the last, put some flavor in it. Meet Church's new $5 Campfire Smokehouse Chicken. Crackling campfire flavor that's bold to the bone. Plus mashed potatoes and a biscuit. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
What would you do if you won the lottery? Powerball and Mega Millions jackpots are high, and you can't win if you don't play. But who wants to wait in line for a ticket? At Lottery.com, you can skip the line and play your favorite lottery games right from your phone. Never lose a ticket and never miss a jackpot. The Lottery.com app is free, and you can cash out your winnings any time. In just two taps, you could win the next multi-$1 million jackpot. Search for Lottery.com in the App Store or go to Lottery.com to learn more. Now sit back, relax, and play and get some time back in your day. That's what we call winning together. This message was brought to you by Lottery.com. Please play responsibly.
iHeartRadio's new podcast, Forgotten, Women of Juarez, is about a series of haunting crimes against women on the U.S.-Mexico border. And it's about the risks journalists take to expose them.
My mom followed me and got into the passenger seat. She said, if you're going to put yourself in danger, I can't let you go and expose yourself alone. That really forced me to grapple with, what are you willing to give up for this story?
Dive into the mystery and listen to Forgotten, Women of Juarez on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you know you might be overpaying for your Medicare supplement plan? Do you get lost in an alphabet maze of plans like A, B, C, D, and G, F? Would you like help getting out of the maze and finding the very best plan for you? We are experienced Medigap agents at Health IQ, and we are on a mission to give people like you fair and square Medigap rates. Health IQ is the only insurance agency that rewards seniors proactively working on their health, like eating right and exercising. You don't have to be an athlete to save money. We reward healthy lifestyles of all kinds. Do you take your vitamins and supplements? Do you stay active and in the know about things that impact your health? If so, you could save money with Health IQ. Let us help you take care of your Medicare supplement needs. To see if you qualify for exclusive savings on Medicare supplement insurance, go to healthiq.com/medigap. To start saving, go to healthiq.com/medigap. That's healthiq.com/medigap.
Health IQ is an agency offering plans from different insurance carriers. No government or Medicare affiliation. Coverage and special rates not available in all counties or cases.
And now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. By Monterey Asset Management. By Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. By Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
We have visitors blowing through here, but they have access and they have masks on and got nowhere near us, so that's even better. But no, Carl Lombaugh's on hold here. We'll get him back in a second. But just to real quick let you know, there are conversations on the Camino Real coming up, a speaker series hosted by Santa Lazario Genealogy and Historical Society. Very progressive crowd down there under Alborrego. And what they're doing the first Sunday of the month starting in September, that's on the 6th, 4 p.m., that's a Sunday afternoon, the Honorable Council of Spain. I like to say it that way. Martha Vera will be down there talking about. And this is the story. We had her on the radio talking about it. Amazing history of this nun. The Salinas Pueblo Missions National Monument is the story of Maria de Jesus de Agreda, A-R-G-R-E-D-A. Yeah, born in 1602. She was reported to have experienced a period of bilocations beginning in 1620. Like, she was here, she was there, all at the same time. One here was in New Mexico, the other there was in Spain. And so there's stories going back and forth about how she was talking over there to people over here. Like, how do you do that? But it was in a trance in the convent in Spain. She was mystically present in New Mexico. Anyway, Consul of Spain, Martha Vera, talk about that on September 6th in San Elizario at 4 p.m. Carl, have you ever heard that story? You've heard that story before, right?
Oh, I have. I have. The first time it may be show up in print is 1634 in the second revised set of memoirs of Fray Alonso de Benavides.
Don't you love that?
He came into New Mexico, I think, in 1625 and started establishing missions. He was a Franciscan. And so he talks about that. And, yeah, what was going on, the Spanish were going out onto the plains, and they were running into the group no longer around, at least as a known group, called the Humanos.
Oh, yeah.
Humanos Rayados, the stripe, the painted. And this was a mobile group that traded with the Pueblos but also moved out into the plains of Texas. And, of course, they did that a lot more freely before the Comanche showed up in 1700.
Oh.
And but the Spanish went out and made contact with these Humano, and they asked for blue cloth. Can you give us some blue cloth? Why do you want blue cloth? Well, this lady has been appearing to us, and she's dressed in blue.
Oh.
And they were already familiar with the Christian religion. They had heard of her. And so when Benavides gets back to Spain, he actually goes and visits with the gal. And, of course, she's been cloistered in that convent, but she claims she was over here and Christianizing the enemies, was able to communicate with them.
Can you imagine? So that story has been being retold down here in El Paso on September the 6th. Well,
she's called the Blue Lady.
Yeah, it's a fascinating story. And it wasn't just once or twice. She appeared dozens and dozens of times, apparently, to natives here. And she was writing stuff back in her convent that she could only have seen by having been here or having knowledge from here, whatever. Okay,
right.
Wrap up this institute, because I got to tell you, it's a fascinating place. It could use some support. It deserves support. What you call it, the rear guard of history? Is that how you phrased it?
It's history is a rear guard, or preservation. Historical preservation is a rear guard action.
Oh my God, you're right. Oh, and you got to find what you can and keep it,
and then preserve it.
That's
right.
What he's doing.
And you want to preserve it for our future, so somebody will pay attention to what was going on.
We've talked about films. Yep. We've talked about slides. Well, he does books.
Yep.
He also does books.
Yep.
Books, right?
He does books. He works with books. Just to go through a quick list, the film and video media transfer, every 8 millimeters, 16 millimeters, Super 8Ms, VHSs, DVDs. It also does audio media recordings with wire or tape, reel-to-reel, cassettes, 78s, 45s, records, vinyl, Edison cylinders, and of course I told you the story about the dictaphone.
The dictaphone.
They could probably make that work again if we could find the tapes. Image digitation and restoration, your negatives, your prints, your slides, your old wedding pictures, your scrapbooks, and then audio transcriptions. As I talked about, they've transcribed all our oral history, both in Spanish and in English. Output formats, prints, flash drives, CDs, microforms, and then, of course, research assistants. They've got collections of all the media. They've got a wide range of collections, beginning with the Episcopal Diocese, but it goes on to, like I say, the El Paso Airport, Waco Tanks. They have scrapbooks from the Ladder Ranch, a descendant of William Hopewell that managed the Ladder Ranch back in the early 1900s. They've got the whole scrapbook, all those early images of cowboys and activity on the ladder.
I am so glad.
It just goes on and on.
I'm glad somebody's doing this, Carl. I mean, this is amazing to have somebody actually take the history out of your shoebox in the closet when you inherit it and transfer it, not just put it on the, not take it off of your shelf and put it on their shelf. They'll do that, but they'll also copy it on the way and give you a digital copy of it. Fascinating.
That's right.
Fascinating stuff.
That's right.
Well, it's a worthy group. Again, the name, I'm sorry, I can't. That's
the Institute of Historical Survey Foundation.
That's the place. And so it's an interesting place, and it's in, what do you call it, Mesilla Park? The nice little neighborhood.
It's in our little Mesilla Park. Mesilla Park is sort of, as somebody said, a state of mind, but we're located between Mesilla and the university. Part of us are in Las Cruces, part of us are in the county, part of us are in Mesilla.
And part of you are under I-10.
And yep, we're right there next to I-10, absolutely. That's where the St. James Church is.
Real quick, let me ask you, before I-10, what happened there? I mean, was there a trail going through there, and did I-10 just happen, or there was nothing there?
No, there wasn't anything. I-10 used to take off of Highway 85 off Picacho Avenue.
And just take
and
a
then,
left. Yeah.
Then took a left. And
okay.
So when they built the interstate, it got elevated and it got brought through that particular spot. And as a result, the houses, and in this case the St. James Church, got isolated and from everything that was next to it on the other side of the I-10.
Oh, that's history. We got to go here, Carl. Thanks for being with us. Carl Lombaugh in Las Cruces. One more time, the phone number for this institute.
575-525-3035.
Excellent. Carl, thanks for being with us. We'll talk again because you got a number of stories we haven't heard yet, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Everybody
Bye-bye.
Else, thank you, Carl. You take her easy. I'm going to cut you off here. We'll talk to you again. The thing is about Carl and the things going on in Las Cruces, there are people saving the research, and we thank them for it. All right, we're coming back next week. We got the guys from ABC7. And I'm sure they got some bizarre stories. I know they do. I've been on a couple of them. Anyway, Melissa, we'll be back next week. See you then right here on the El Paso History Radio Show.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by Patrick Tuttle Legacy Real Estate Services, 915-585-7777. By Monterey Asset Management, Keystone Heritage Park on Donovan Drive, 915-584-0563. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant, 6761 Donovan Drive. And by Mission Del Rey, 1421 Lee Trevino, with El Paso souvenirs and gift shopping. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM El Paso.